Hi, this is Nirav Desai.
And this is Kirby Shibaga.
And I'm Vinay Narayan, along with Stephen Chu. Welcome to this episode of XRC Pod. You know, when we talk about VR and AR, it's so much about is about our reality and our environment, but really, what really makes it ours? And how can our environment really understand us? And while there's so many great input methodologies out there, one thing we often overlook is voice. And voice is much more than natural language processing. It's much more than voice command and even chatbots. It's really about ambient computing, which is your environment understanding you. So understanding these topics can be pretty complex. We all have our own definition of what it means to use voice, what it means for input. But I think one great example is thinking about maybe our favorite sci-fi movies. Sci-fi movies have a great way of bringing all these different technologies into more of an experience. So we'll kick that off. I mean, this question for you guys is, what is your favorite sci-fi movie that really talks about this kind of ambient computing, like the understanding you?
So I love this question because there's so many great characters in the last several decades in sci-fi, you know, starting with Star Wars and C-3PO and R2, just great guys. But I really like K2. I would have to go with that because I love that kind of sarcastic side. It gives that voice, that character, much more humanity. I love it.
I think for me, it would have to be Cortana from Halo. Right. There's something about that environment, even though you may be with a squad, so much of it is still dependent on you. And who do you really trust throughout the entire journey? Right. And there's something about Cortana and your relationship evolving and just kind of having that person who you can speak with and understand both the context and the question, but also the history. And I think that particular interaction, too, it's not over the top. Right. You're not constantly getting barraged with here's what you should do or the questions you should ask. But it takes the element of isolation out. Right. And you're asking some of the right questions. And so there's a kind of nice balance. So that's kind of my favorite example or my favorite sci-fi example of kind of that voice type of interaction or assistant.
Well, so naturally, I'm Star Wars is my favorite, but I'm actually for this topic, I'm going to stray a little bit from movies and go to a TV show. And that's really The Good Place. Janet in The Good Place is phenomenal.
Wow.
I mean, talk about a personal assistant that gets what you're asking for. I mean, that's the gold standard that we should all be shooting for. How can we create that kind of interface to help us out with our lives?
That's pretty amazing. I think, you know, we've all picked three very different examples of what we feel like we want in our virtual environments. And I think finding that kind of nice balance of when and where and how is going to be really important. Me personally, I'm kind of a loner. I like kind of being by myself until I need the interaction. So kind of having that constant may be very different. But I think the contextual awareness and every situation is also different. I think before we started this episode, we were kind of talking about one of my examples. I love zombie first-person shooters in any category, but especially in VR. And one interesting contrast is Arizona Sunshine. First time I played Arizona Sunshine or the first year I played Arizona Sunshine, there's this sense of isolation that was very creepy, but also made sense. It kind of made sense in terms of being in an environment where you really had nobody but yourself, and you kind of felt – you can watch it in movies where the leading character is by themselves or they talk to themselves. But being in that environment first person, you realize, yes, it's in itself. You kind of create your own demons. It's kind of freaky. But then playing stepping forward into a platform like a Quest 2 where you have more voice interaction, so you have a level of expectations, playing Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. There's a lot of interaction with characters, but you're using your physical input to have that dialogue. And I found that to be still isolating because I never really quite – spoke in the way I would naturally speak or have that interaction. So you walked away with a sense of isolation in both of those experiences, but only one of them was pleasant. So I think that's kind of a very interesting way. You know, when we talk about these voice interactions, there's core technologies that really bring this stuff to life. And Nira, I was hoping you can walk us through what is natural language processing, what is voice command, chatbots, and maybe even looking at some things like emotive, right, measuring sentiment.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that necessarily this is the way the academic breakdown is, but I've been around this space for a while, and I would say that these are four good ways of breaking down the space into different voice technologies that are manageable. So NLP has been around for a long time. It's largely a symbolic process, focusing on understanding linguistics of text and analyzing that to extract meaning. So it's really focused on the syntax and semantics, and breaking down language into knowledge artifacts. And the key distinction here is the difference between analyzing the content as a textual corpus versus analyzing it as a sound pattern. And so I would say that's a central divide between what I call NLP voice versus speech recognition. Not to say there's not a blending of the two. Then you have voice command, which is really kind of where Siri, Cortana, Alexa all are in right now, right? They are listening on the conversation. When the sound pattern becomes that of a, you know, the keyword is said, or it becomes that of a command, it starts processing that, usually as text as well. But you can have some versions of that actually just process the sound signature. That becomes a command, right? So it's very discrete, atomized commands. And a lot of these are now being available as a service. And then the broader chatbot conversation is more of an expert system type of AI, where you're looking through a knowledge base to find the right answer. Categorizing, it's again textual language processing, but you're kind of relying on expert systems AI to drive the response. And the fourth one, which is actually emotive technology, comes into this broader ambient computing aspect. It's kind of part of the pervasive part of intuitive, natural and pervasive computing. It is really looking at the sound signature and the tenor of the voice of the speaker and trying to detect sentiment or emotion out of it. So part of the reason I went into that diatribe is when we're talking voice, we're talking through a variety of technologies. And all of this feeds back into enhancing the reality we create as extended reality.
That was all over the map. Yeah, no, I think it's actually, you know, if you kind of think about it from a very specific set of technologies doing very specific things, and as you kind of, you know, you ended it with really talking about emotive and sentiment. And actually, it's funny, we did speak with a company called Emotive with a brain-computer interface with Kim and Olivier, which was fascinating, right? Because we talked about so much more than using these explicit forms of communication with more of that cerebral and more natural. Made a lot of sense for augmented reality, where you would not be walking down the street gesturing your hands, or even in this case, speaking these commands out loud. But I think there's
just to clarify, though, when I say emotive in this context, it's different than emotive the company, right?
Emotive
the company is brain-computer interface. This is broader, using computers to understand emotion.
Correct. Yes, and I think it's an important discipline. And an important call out that there is a field that is focused around around sentiment, right?
Yeah.
And understanding things. And that's when you get things understanding tenor, right, versus the actual syntax of the words that you speak. And that's the subtlety or the layer that I think is an opportunity for sure. You know, when we think about some of the benefits, we kind of touched on this having this partner in your virtual environment, but how do you guys feel? What is the challenge, though, of adoption that these type of technologies help to uncover or help to kind of break down, especially as we look at the current momentum of VR headsets? You know, 2020 started off kind of a moderately slower pace, but as we saw more VR headsets introduced, more specialized headsets introduced, especially with even things like the Quest 2, which is more mass market, and you're seeing quite a bit of a pickup. So now you're getting folks that are new into VR for the first time, and not your typical early adopters. How does this help them extend play or just, you know, extend that experience in VR?
So I wouldn't mind stepping. Well, I want to get to that, but let's step back before this. to the investment community. Because the pattern, so one thing, I think VR and voice are two very different disciplines. But they need not be, because solid experience in VR to a certain degree requires voice, right? When have we been in a social setting and not talked to our friends? Yet we do this in VR all the time. But also, if you go back up the value chain, investors view these two disciplines as very different. But I don't think there's really a technology impediment to blending the two in a more meaningful way. Sorry, I think that, Vinay, that does lead into your point, but I just wanted to make that.
Yeah, I think it's a great call out. I think it's a very important call out. Kirby, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think initially there was the problem of latency. So if you wanted to do some of these things, there are cloud services that allow you to do it. And, you know, you can either send the final waveform, the final packet of the command and get it interpreted and wait for the response. But that can be timely, especially if you have intermittent network. But now a lot of this can be done on device. You know, if you think about common virtual assistants you may have at home, more and more, not just the wake word is being interpreted locally, but more of your command, more of your request is being interpreted locally, and therefore the latency is not a problem at all. So yeah, I agree. Now the technology is there. It can still be frustrating. It's not perfect.
What are some great examples of if in the current software ecosystem of AR and VR, if you had a better, deeper voice interaction that would change the experience altogether?
Well, here's an example. I just got Alexa for my car. And, playing music in my car is just so much easier now. Hey, Alexa, play some Bruce Springsteen. And voila, I'm listening to Born to Run.
That's all you ever asked for.
Yeah, I'm so shaking my head right now.
It's well trained on that.
Yeah.
But I'm actually a little bit surprised that it took that long to get into the car. But you could think of a virtual experience as being very similar to driving, right? You're like a game, right? You're in a virtual reality. You are killing dinosaurs or killing zombies or trying to solve a puzzle, whatever your game of choice is. It's just a little bit surprising to me that it's hasn't picked up quicker.
It's interesting that you mentioned kind of the car. You know, we have such a personal connection to our vehicles, right? It ends up being your own world. People even name their own vehicles. If your car starts to sputter, break down, or have something, you almost have like a personal don't. Someone's like, oh, please don't. You don't do this, as if it has sort of sentient.
Are you going to invoke Queen now? I'm in love with my car.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm not going to go there. But I do think it's interesting in that you're talking about something you have a personal connection with. And, you know, our virtual environments are very similar to that. We both can be in a headset at the same time, literally standing next to each other, but you have such different expectations of your own VR world. Like, there is an actual expectation that this is my world, even though you could be in a co-collaborative space. And so wanting to interact with that in a interesting way, like in your example, you know exactly what you want from a Bruce Springsteen perspective. But, you know, oftentimes, like, My wife and I, for example, we have a wide variety of music we like to listen to. But if we go down specific titles or names, then you almost go down a rabbit hole. So it'd be great to be able to ask the questions, because oftentimes the UI is very limiting, right? Especially with canned voice commands or even some of the interfaces. Like if you have XM, you have very specific stations, but you're limited by that funnel around what you think you want to listen to next. And I think that's what voice really does help to expand, is some more of that dynamic questioning and phrases, like, you know, road trip with, you know, road trip down to the beach, maybe a very different playlist than, party songs, for example.
Yeah. Well, no, that's actually where it gets really interesting, because you look at the growth in the voice AI business. You know, Amazon's had, four programs? The Amazon Alexa Accelerator with Nexaros. You know, there's massive investment in the space. But the simple question of exactly where you're going, right? Me driving in my car, if I just say play Bruce Springsteen, it'll start with the greatest hits, essentially, right? But I was in the car yesterday. I was talking to my daughter, introducing her to Sinead O'Connor. And I wanted her to hear Mandinga, which you know how old I am. So it's a harder to find song. So you kept on getting the top 40 hits. It's hard to drill into that, right? So the interfaces help, but they're lacking on voice, because that's where conversation comes in. Right. Oh, wait, nothing compares to you. I want to hear some of the deeper tracks. And we're not able to do that yet with Alexa, but to a certain degree, you might need some of that in a VR experience, particularly for the assistance that we're talking about. But there's a huge investment in that, and it's advancing a lot quicker in some ways than VR.
Right. You know, Google I.O. a couple of years ago when they showed off the, is it called Duo, I think? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, this was the scheduling thing.
Yeah, where you had this assistant tied to your Google Calendar. Yeah. But the assistant on your behalf would make an appointment for you using voice and calling out to, you know, a barbershop or a restaurant, yeah, that type of thing, and being able to understand the human on the other end and responding as a human, the AI, just incredible. You know, I was lucky enough to be in the audience when they demoed that. And I have to tell you, everyone just looked at each other as like, what did we just witness? Yeah. It was amazing. But yeah, all the companies now, all the biggies are moving beyond that next step of simple, you know, one command kind of sentence, short commands into, yep, conversational. Yeah. And that's when it gets very, very interesting. I just wanted to bring up too quickly a really, really good example of why we need this is communication, because with others, especially now we're all moving more and more of our life into digital, online, more, you know, much of our day is spent online. And if you want to communicate with others that don't speak your language and you don't speak theirs, again, you know, Microsoft has shown this, Google, of course, has shown this as well, where you can actually, in near real time, mm-hmm, speak your language, it gets translated and spoken to the other person in their language. Yeah. And, you know, that's the Star Trek universal communicator happening. We live in amazing times.
Yeah, and we're not, yeah, far from that.
Right. And I think, you know, kind of going back to the car analogy, it's kind of interesting you started there, but I think it's so relevant to VR. The reason why car technologies from a layout doesn't change too drastically is because it's distracting, right? The main primary focus is to pay attention to the road. So changing button layouts, changing just how you interact with your vehicle can actually have some adverse effects. And VR is not too different. The goal for VR is also immersion, to keep you mentally engaged. But if you're using a very canned set of expressions that either don't work or you can't relate to, most likely you're just going to stop using them. And so while we're at a point where the specifics can, specific examples you can integrate, that natural flow for it to be in VR needs to maintain immersion. So using very specific commands, like for example, in the Quest 2, going to home makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And then how we integrate that into other experiences, we're gonna have to be very careful. Like, cause what we don't want to do is break immersion. And even though we're instilling a new kind of behavior, some of those things don't necessarily translate over immediately to VR, but there's still so much opportunity. How about augmented reality? You know, when we talk about AR, we're really talking about HMD-based AR headsets. And right now, most AR headsets are used in a corporate or enterprise environment, definitely not out in public. And that's perfectly fine to stay there for now. I think we have to solve one problem for AR versus kind of moving into the mass consumer space, but are there more intuitive or great examples of voice being kind of that more natural interface in augmented reality?
Yeah, so I think Microsoft had it down pretty well on the HoloLens early on, but they were one of the first to start integrating voice services into the core interface with Cortana or Cognitive Services integrated directly into HoloLens. I would say there's some really interesting industrial applications of voice being used as a key interface for augmented reality. There's also a challenge because often these solutions are used in industrial environments where sound could be challenged. But yeah, AR is really where voice command shines. And now there's even some experimentation around contextually aware voice commands, voice integrations.
That sounds pretty fascinating. Can you expand on that a little bit, Nirav?
Once you have eye tracking in a headset and you're in an AR headset, right, and you can see where someone's looking and where their focus is, I can say, turn that blue, right? And that is resolved to the box I'm looking at. So not only is it your basic command of turn the box blue, but it can contextualize the pronoun.
And that's pretty powerful, especially considering when we think about AR, it's more meant to be more of a super power, right? And that really helps to translate it to that power. Kirby, you're going to say something?
Yeah, a couple of things. But Stephen just reminded us here in chat that, you know, the original Google Glass, did you guys have one?
I do not.
I have one. Oh, it still works, actually, amazingly. But yeah, it came. Oh, and Stephen had it. All right. But yeah, it understood voice back then. You could just say, okay, Glass, take a photo. Mm-hmm. Or, okay, Glass, you know, give me directions to wherever, navigation. And it was really, you know, pretty damn good. And you just got me thinking, though, the other example is a lot of us and maybe a lot of our listeners now have several smart devices in their home. And a popular one for first timers is, you know, getting light bulbs, then maybe cameras, but having a lock on your front door. It's so cool. You know, and it's starting to recognize when you get home through Bluetooth or whatever that, hey, I should unlock the door to let me in. But sometimes I'm too fast and I have to stand at the door waiting. You know, my hands are full. But since the cost of putting the technology locally into smart devices, and I know we're getting a little off VR here, but for augmented reality out in the real world, imagine if your door could understand you. Imagine if all the objects around you could understand voice. It would just be so much more natural if I get home and my hands are full with groceries or whatever, and I just say, hey, unlock the front door.
And those are great examples. I think, you know, this is important to note, and I know we firmly believe this in this show here, that all the other technologies that are out there are very relevant into how that it gets implemented into XR. And I think this is really why we have these larger ecosystem conversations, general technology conversations, is because we're establishing the ability for better user interfaces, the ability to integrate that, whether it be a common set of APIs or just a reduced cost of integrating these technologies. So it makes a lot of sense to pay attention to some of these other integrations that we may take for granted, how it's going to impact the next generation of emerging technologies, and in this context, AR and VR. The PS5 controllers is an interesting one, right? If you've been following that, controller inputs in general have not changed too drastically. We have really honed our skills, especially as gamers, into how to manipulate those buttons as fast as possible. And to really try to make that better, is a very expensive and risky investment, but PlayStation did that to really great reviews. Inputs continue to be such an important thing to overcome, such an important challenge. And I think we continue to see these other industries challenging the status quo. You're seeing that even in, let's say if you have a Tesla and how that interface, remember people saying the screens are too big, but now you're realizing, well, that makes a lot of sense, in terms of the things you need to do. So all of those other aspects of how technology is improving makes very relevant sense into AR and VR.
Yeah, so I kind of see VR as, I mean, we've kind of hopped around a lot. We jumped between voice, we brought in IoT. Of course, we're talking about XR. I kind of view XR as a next generation interface, right? That is a, and as any interface technology, it's a repository of all sorts of other technology, right? So I don't see the ability to talk about next generation interface without bringing in, you know, these other support technologies, AI, voice, IoT, it all feeds into it in some way. The question is how, right? And towards what end? So just real quick on kind of from the Moonbeam perspective, what we're thinking about is really how to not let people get distracted by taking notes, right? How to prevent them from, how to have them be part of the conversation and let everything else flow naturally out of that. And voice kind of comes into that as a key part. But I would say even from a gaming experience, a social, you know, alt space. Imagine being able to fully control your environment in a virtual collaboration setting with voice commands.
Yeah.
Or contextual understanding.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up the Moonbeam example, and you know, I know you're the founder and CEO of Moonbeam, and we don't really talk about that very often, but you're really trying to solve for a collaboration and problem solving situation for those that are it's not a native to VR, or those that are not native to VR. Can you just, for a refresher for those that don't know, maybe just talk about Moonbeam real quick?
Oh, sure.
I think the context really helps to see why these are so important to you.
All right, so here's my ad. No, I won't make it an ad. But Moonbeam, we're basically a VR collaboration platform acutely focused on productivity. And so we are building tools, APIs, and frankly, integrating other methods to make meetings more productive. So that includes things like automated transcription, automated notes, ways of thinking about whiteboarding or flowcharting, mind mapping to that are much more intuitive interfaces. And voice is a critical part of that. So again, imagine working on a flowchart with a colleague in virtual space and you want to change the highlighting. Right now through tools like, Lucidchart or what have you, you're going there and pulling through a drop-down list to change the color, right? With voice, you can do something like, hey, turn that element red, and it will change to red. So that's kind of what we're working on, things along those lines. But you also think about things like a remote assistant. We may be having a conversation that naturally fits into the template of a go-to-market strategy. And so as we're talking, it'd be great to have something like, hey, here's a template for go-to-market. You may want to use this as to refine your thought coming up in the environment. So sounds a bit like Clippy. So hopefully we'll be a little bit more helpful than Clippy. But, you know, going down that path.
Yeah, like a coach almost.
Exactly. It's a facilitated session.
And I think, especially when you think about the future of work in these tools, right? We're in these tools. We're doing so many different collaboration interactions. What happens, I think, sometimes when you look at when you bring voice technology, speech recognition technology, natural language processing into the virtual and augmented environments, what you really get is a platform that allows you to do a lot more, right? You can pick up sentiment scores in a conversation. How well did that pitch go based on the interactions, right? Because even a phrase like "that's cool" to "that's really cool" can mean very different things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's when we start to see some of the power of these platforms as you start to integrate. Because, you know, this conversation really isn't just about what technology should we build, but being ready for these technologies, they're going to come. And how do you make the right decisions of when and how to integrate them?
Yeah, I was just going to say that a way to look at any emerging technology, you know, and if you think you don't have a technical background, it doesn't matter at all. Imagine taking anything that's from the real world that's analog, like our voice is analog, right? Sound mm-hmm. waves. But once you digitize something, once you can represent it in digital form, that just opens up tremendous amounts of possibilities. And you can hear us going from thought to thought, like, oh, well, once I have this, then I can tie mm-hmm. it to AI and it comes back and helps me. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the most, that's the one thing I hope everybody realizes is once you digitize, it becomes endless, the possibility.
Kirby, I love that. I mean, here's a very concrete example for, I think, what you're getting at. If you look at almost every VR collaboration platform, there is this concept of an emoji, right? Being able to have an emoji fly out from the top of your head so everyone can see your response. Now, a very simple thing is to tie sentiment analysis into, you know, just your basic marketing sentiment analysis, right? The difference between that's cool to that's cool. Popping off an emoji. Because when on a video, when I see that expression on your face, I get that you're into it. You don't see that on avatars, right? So how do you augment that experience with automating emojis or automate, you know, that's all doable.
Or yeah, or like when you make a Bruce Springsteen comment and I say, oh my God, I'm not saying, oh my God, it's an amazing reference. Yeah. I'm saying, oh my God, because I want to punch myself in the face. So yeah,
Just again, realizing what Nerv was talking about with Moonbeam and the idea of having a coach or a facilitator for that meeting, that only happens because we've digitized voice.
Right.
And then, you know, in the early days, okay, we can maybe understand one or two commands from it, then we can do short sentences. Now we're getting into bigger conversational things. And that just opens up the world because I don't know about you guys, but if I'm in a meeting, I have a terrible memory for things. I have all the ideas that I've read about or things I've seen on YouTube, et cetera, but it's hard for me to bring it back and show people right at that moment.
Yep.
But if I have the smart AI that's listening, it's almost like watching Joe Rogan and going over, hey, man, can you bring up this video? Right?
For sure.
But it just does it for you.
I think
so
listening
cool.
– listening and understanding, right? And I think those are really important things to kind of talk about. And everything we've spoken about on the show about privacy, security always applies, right? That's foundational. But how can we really use these tools to kind of maybe fill in some of our gaps as well? Especially if we look at we're developing new ways or a new reality in terms of how we're going to work. And we're going to probably move to a lot more remote interactions than previously before. But if we've learned anything, being on video all the time is exhausting. But if there's ways to keep us engaged, there are ways to make our days easier, or even not just piece through that conversation, but a series of conversations. And I think that's going to be the next kind of stage or the next opportunity for augmented and virtual reality, especially in a collaboration workspace. I asked a question earlier, and we definitely kind of went into many different areas, which is of all your experiences in VR and AR, what do you think would be best enhanced with this kind of ambient computing voice technology?
So clearly it's deciding on the playlist.
you mean when you're in Beat Saber?
In whatever, just your natural soundtrack, right? I want Wes Anderson music playing around everything I do.
Yeah, actually, you know, thinking back to one of our past guests, Joe Ludwig, who's created this open source thing called Aardvark, mm-hmm. where you yep. can bring in an overlay into any VR experience you're in. So imagine if you can also do that with audio. So it's not just one developer tied to one application, but being able to bring your assistant with you into every VR application.
Yeah.
That would be pretty useful, right?
Because now it's like it.
Become personalized. Yeah.
Exactly.
Take your imaginary friend with you everywhere you go.
Well, I mean, imagine having just a, a note taker on every with any interaction, right?
A scribe.
A scribe, yeah, or having a utility box of tools that you can bring in that don't interact from the way you're engaging with the application. but it's all auditory. So imagine the movie Her, right? Great example of that.
Yeah, I think the ability to interact through kind of a voice input or conversation in virtual and augmented reality, I almost feel like it's also going to improve our interactions in the real world, right? You know, because you don't realize sometimes whether it's the lexicon or the type of phrases you use or just how you're asking questions. If there's a way for us to just practice being better question askers, right? Therefore, better listeners. There's a way that we can kind of develop those behaviors in our virtual and augmented environments, I think will translate into the real world as well. So those are actually great examples. I love the example, almost like the digital wallet, but being kind of that assistant through the various experiences.
Yeah. I mean, in more near term, there a few years ago on a hackathon, a few of us put together, you know, it could be called an XR experience, but the idea was that we created a system that would help folks with their interviewing technique. So we could use the webcam through, you know, web APIs and record that. And it allowed the person to play back the experience and they could see themselves on screen, but also have the transcript of words. And then they could send it to a coach, right, that could give them feedback. Yeah. But again, once you've digitized things, you can just go so far with it.
Yeah, the interesting company Ovation VR that's doing that in VR, helping people speak better.
Yeah, Ovation is a great example. It's been out for a couple of years now. I think it originally launched in the Vive, but it was such a powerful. It continues to be such a powerful tool of being able to, you know, engage how well you speak by, you know, these kind of defined metrics of what's a good speech, and the ability to kind of practice this in a digital audience. It's so helpful because it takes the kind of the nervousness out, right? You can practice aspects of a speech. You can just practice speaking in general, and then you have these pop-ups because it understands what you're saying, not and more than just the ums, right? As I say, there. But also eye engagements, right? So how compelling is what you want to speak with? Like, you know, are people paying attention? Are they losing interest? Those are all really great tools as we improve our ability to communicate in virtual reality, but as it applies to our realities. And oftentimes, as we talk about various technologies and especially new behaviors we're promoting kind of in a virtual and augmented environment, we talk about topics that we should also consider, the should. And user privacy and security is always kind of the anchor for that. But how about this? Like, if in VR we have avatars, which we do, and it can represent any version of ourselves, should we also be allowed to change our voice too?
So one thing that we're looking at, jumping back to the Moonbeam thing, is looking at ways of, particularly for hiring, looking at ways to abstract out gender. On hiring. So, if you have an avatar that could be any gender, you should be able to disguise your voice, just for gender neutral hiring.
I would love to have Morgan Freeman's voice. Imagine.
Wouldn't we all?
that's a great example, Nirav. I think the ability to have the tool, to just kind of even the playing field is pretty significant. Is there anything that we should not use with voice technologies? Not just more than just changing your voice, but also taking in that speech. Should we have almost kind of a disclaimer that pops up if someone is using some sort of recording on their end and you're in a collaborative space?
You mean like a time delay? Like they do in live, so you could take
just
those square
so you
words
know
or...
You know how we when you record, let's say in a Teams meeting or a Zoom call, it says recording has started. Are there things like that can be not distracting, but at the same time either allow you to opt in to the conversation being recorded or some sort of more kind of user control?
So Vinay, that question is a whole can of worms that requires a Springsteen quote in response. There's a crazy mirror showing us in 5D. I'm laughing at you. You're laughing at me. The room is full of shadows. It gets so dark, brother. It's easy for two people to lose each other. It's easy to get lost in VR when you start getting into privacy issues on all these different fronts. And the more dimensions you add, the more complicated it gets. We need to think through this up front, but I think that's a topic for a whole future episode.
Yeah, and of course, the legal, the jurisdictions involved. Like, you know, in the U.S., every state has kind of a different rule on do you need somebody's permission to record their audio, and video is different. And then imagine when it's worldwide. Boy, it's tough.
Yeah, and I think just even being able to near with that quote, very relevant, the ability to even block out someone's statements that just make your blood boil, I think would be a huge, huge win in the main conversation. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, this is a fascinating conversation, and so many different and great examples around the technologies we use today, some of the early adoption of voice technologies in AR and VR. Many things are working, and as we look to the future, we're really looking at taking in context, looking around what voice technology we're currently using today and how well and when we can implement this in the AR and VR spaces as well. As we wrap up this episode, any advice or takeaways that you want to impart on the listeners?
Yeah, the house is haunted and the road is rough, and you got to learn to rise above what you – learn to rise – sorry, I'll re-record this because this will come back to you, Vinay.
Kirby saved me.
Yeah, the house is haunted and the ride is rough. You got to learn to live with what you can't rise above, Vinay.
And for me, I'll just come back to the same thing, that just because the technology exists doesn't mean it meets doesn't mean you need it to solve every problem. So just make sure you apply it where necessary. Start small, learn from it, iterate, and build out if you need to.
Yeah, and I think I was just kind of plus one to both of those. While it was a relevant quote, Nir, I'll give you that. You know, we're looking at building competitive edges, building better experiences, for our applications and really what's next. There are great examples around us that we can pull in. There are also great tools. Unity actually has a great set of voice recognition tools that you can implement as well. Everything we're talking about is within reach. Understanding kind of what actually works, when it actually works, and being excited about it are all really great things about where we're at in XR. We're a foundation, we're a bed for the next platform for interaction.
Right.
So with that, thank you guys so much for listening on this episode of XRC Pod. You can find us wherever you find your podcasts, or you can also check us out on xrcpod.com. So please like, subscribe, and share. Thank you.